Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Take-Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and with me today making his debut is my new co-host for some of my music interviews, Mike Lidskin. And just a little bit about Mike, he's been an indie DJ for as long as the sun has hit the earth.
That's a long time, too. Hey, Pam.
That's the only part I didn't send you in the email. I wanted you to be surprised.
That's hilarious. Yeah, you know, back before we even had Sun, I was hosting an indie radio show called Swirl Radio, and it's so much fun. I'm so glad to be part of your show. This is wonderful what you're doing here, Pam.
Well, thank you, and I'm very happy to have you. Our special guest today is a man of many hats, a songwriter, a studio producer, a radio host, and so on. He's worked with, interviewed, or just hung out with the top people in the entertainment industry. And I do believe that he may be on our phone, so let me pick up one of these calls and see if it's him. David, is that you?
It is me, Pam. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How's Mike? How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Nice to meet you, David. How are you?
Nice to meet you guys, too. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for joining us, and I hope you're feeling better now, you and your wife.
Yeah, it was a rough week. We were in Vegas, and then we got sick there. Everybody was sick out there. And then, of course, flying home with the altitude, it just made it worse.
Yeah.
And then going on a little bit of sleep, and I had several little party deals I had to go to last week with several rock groups, and so that didn't help any.
Oh, wow.
Fun, but it didn't help my health.
So you don't always leave Vegas empty-handed then?
No, well, you don't always leave empty-handed, but most of the time you do.
Yeah.
Well, I tell my kids, don't do that again.
And some good ideas and good memories, but that's about it. Empty pocketbook. So.
Oh, man.
Well, I try not to go there too often because I usually come home empty-handed. So.
No, you're smart, ma'am. You're smart. Some of us aren't that smart.
Well, first of all, David, I want to congratulate you on your show debut on February 7th, the David Mobley Show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, we already had a couple of radio shows we've done in the last couple of years, and they did real well, but it was just taking too much of my time up. So we took a little hiatus for a few months and did this album with the originator, the founder of AC/DC.
Mm-hmm.
And it has we got signed to a label out of Paris, and which was about 3 weeks ago, and the album took off like crazy.
So
in fact, I just got contacted yesterday about it, and because we had no idea, and they told me it's just going, it's on fire.
Wow. So, now, that's David Evans, right?
That's Dave Evans, yeah. Dave Evans. And then another gentleman here by the name of John Nitzinger. He's kind of known as the Texas Tornado. I mean, he's from back in the 70s, and he can still play. I mean, he's just like Clapton. I mean, he's that good. And he's been compared to, he's been put in, I believe, in the top 10 category, if I'm not mistaken, of best guitar players ever.
Wow.
And he's played with just about, Alice Cooper picked him to go on tour with him. He played with one of the guys, remember, Son Lake and Palmer, formed a band with them. He's played with Sly and the Family Stone, B.B. King, name it. So, and he was signed with Capitol Records for several years back in the 70s and had several top 10 hits. So, you know, I knew him for a long time since the 70s. We kind of grew up. Actually, we grew up on the same street when we were kids. He's about 4 years older than I was, so he probably beat me up back then. But as we got a little older and got in school and stuff, he was already a little bit ahead of me, but I've stayed in contact with him over the years. And so there was a picture of me and him. We were doing something here in Dallas, and we were on stage together. I was up there playing tambourine and acting goofy, and John was up there playing. And there was a picture taken of us, and we put it on Facebook. Well, Dave Evans was over in Australia, and he happened to see it. Well, he had worked with John one time back in the 80s. and said, "Hey, Dave," he Facebooked me, and he said, "Hey, Dave, I think I know that guy." And so I said, "Well, when you come to town, let's hook up and party," which I never figured would really happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, I got a phone call about a year and a half later, and it was Dave, and he was in Dallas, and he goes, "Hey, I'm ready."
I'm like,
wow!
Oh my gosh, you know, geez, that's right out of left field. So we hooked up, went down to downtown Fort Worth, and in 5 minutes, we had made a deal and put this album together, and boom. It got signed the first week we put it out.
Fantastic.
So,
now, what's the album called?
It's called Revenge.
Revenge. Nice, yeah. Nice. What's the overall sound of the album?
Fantastic. It's just it's more rock than it is blues, but let's just kind of call it rock blues. How's that?
Rock and blues.
rock and blues. Yeah, it's damn just smoking hot rocking songs. They're all. I mean, I really, if somebody held a gun to my head and said, you know, pick one, I couldn't. They're all equal. And I think the record label heard that too. And in fact, we've already got a label out of Australia, New Zealand, one out of South America, and we're real close to signing one here in the States.
Nice,
I can't give
nice.
The name of that one yet, but I can tell you we have signed with Bad Reputation Records out of Paris, France.
Good.
And, it has, and that's the one that contacted me and told me that it's just really taken off. So we're happy.
Wow.
I can't wait until we get to hear the music. Yeah.
So, and the show's doing great, too. In fact, we just finished taping. That's another reason I'm a little wore out right now. I apologize if I sound.
No.
We've been up since 4 o'clock this morning because we missed all of this time, and I couldn't talk up to Thursday. And I had a party deal to go to with the guys from Yes, which I've known for years. Are y'all old enough to remember Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I met them one time in a bar.
Well, we might as well have been in a bar the other night. They played in Dallas, and we all hooked up backstage afterwards and was up till like 2 o'clock in the morning acting silly and had a couple drinks, you know.
Oh, yeah, a few.
but we had a good time. We had a real good time, and So yesterday we were prepping the show, then we started recording this morning. We just absolutely finished the show number 3 about an hour and a half ago.
So your shows are pre-taped?
Yeah, we pre-tape them. I'm not brave enough to try to do anything live. there's too much can go on. I did try it one time when I first got back. We had a gig up in Sacramento that I went to with, I don't know if you called David Johansen from New York Dolls and
Buster Poindexter.
Him and Mickey Thomas from Jefferson Starship and Todd Rundgren and some of the guys from the Tubes and the Cars. And
well,
all that.
Geez, I missed that show. I'm right here in Sacramento, and I missed it.
Mike is out there.
Oh, well, this was 2 years ago, January.
Oh,
so
I was busy that day, apparently.
This was a 3-day orgy. I mean, orgy may be the wrong word. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but
festival.
It was a festival. Yes, it was wild. It was absolutely crazy. We were on stage every night, just up there banging away, playing everything we could think of, and probably sounded like crap, but it sounded good to us.
I'm sure the people didn't care what you were playing. It's just all these famous people up there, you know?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. We would just show up at a club or at a small little venue and just get up there and start playing either Rundgren songs or Starships, or even we played Beatles. I mean, we just played anything. All of a sudden, people would just start piling in. And and all of a sudden, I would look at, and there was one place we played at that had a river running by it, had windows going down both sides of this club we were in. And one minute there was nobody, and the next minute the whole place was full, jam packed, and there were people, you know, looking, had their hands, you know, shielding themselves over their eyes and looking through the windows down all the way both. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is crazy. you know, we're just a bunch of lunatics up here playing.
Yeah, that's
but
one of the
apparently
things
they
that...
got a kick out of it. I think it was because we was making idiots out of ourselves more than we were sounding good. But
hey, you put it that way, but one of the things that's sometimes missing from rock and roll is spontaneity, and it sounds like you definitely had the spontaneity going.
We did. We went to a sandwich shop one day, and Rundgren just all of a sudden got up in the middle of the meal, grabbed an acoustic guitar, and sat down on a in front of all these people, and whether they knew him or not, and you know, a lot of them did. They were a little older, you know, and he just started playing, and they were like, "What in the heck?" And he just started playing, you know, song after song. He played about five or six songs, and then went back downstairs and ate a sandwich. You know. So, yeah, very spontaneous, very spontaneous.
Well, I definitely live in the wrong place or go to the wrong clubs when I used to go out because I never ran across
never.
That.
that's very seldom that you see anything like that. That was only in Sacramento or only in California probably.
Oh, okay.
I never see that here. I've seen it in Dallas a couple times way back in the 60s. The Monkees did it one day. Do y'all remember the Monkees?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well they did it one day. They were over in Dallas, so it was in their heyday too, and they showed up at a show. Oh my gosh, can't say it's called something else with Ron Chapman. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of him or not. He's retired now, I believe, but he had a 4 o'clock show all the kids listened to, and so we all just tuned in and watched him. Ron spun all the latest stuff, and they had go-go girls up there dancing. And all of a sudden, the Monkees just piled in there and started playing, and right just out of nowhere. I don't even think they weren't announced or anything. And I just happened to be over in the state. And I was still in high school when this all went on. In fact, I was in junior high, to be exact.
We're all dating ourselves here, aren't we?
Oh, boy. If I'm not mistaken, I was in the seventh grade when that happened, and I happened to be over there because I knew the brother of one of the go-go girls that danced on it, and we happened to be, we skipped school that day, and just happened to be over there, and they piled in, that's how I got to meet the Monkees, and so it was the only time I got to meet them, in fact.
They're one of the most consistently fun bands out there. They were always just a lot of fun, and it's funny because they were put together as a bunch of actors, people didn't expect much, but they really turned out to be really good musicians and a lot of fun jazz too.
There was, I think, one or two that was seasoned. Mike Nesmith, which is here from Dallas originally, and his mom is the one that invented, if I'm not mistaken, invented Whiteout.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And so he had it made. He didn't even have to be a Monkee. But anyway, Stephen Stills from Dallas, he had tried out, and he got turned down.
I can't even imagine, Nesmith, Torque, Jones, and Stills. That would be weird.
Well, Mickey Dolenz, you know, had a little part in, something called Circus Boy. He had a little bit of acting. And Davy Jones had done, I can't think of the English show it was. It was something. I can't think of the name of it offhand. But he had a little bit, too. And Peter Torque, he had some musical background. So really Michael Nesmith and Peter Torque were the only two that had actual musical background. And so they all four, they were determined to become musicians and not be, you know, having to lip sync and have others do everything for them.
The Partridge Family.
I just got off the phone with Carol Kay, which was a session player, a bass session player that played on every single thing you can imagine out of the 60s. Every movie, every hour show, and just about every song that you heard on the radio, Carol played basses. She was a session player because most of the guys that were in the bands just quite weren't good enough, and they used session players back then.
Right, she was part of the wrecking crew, right?
Yeah, that was just the way it was back then. Yeah. And her and Glenn Campbell, Glenn played a guitar, and she played bass, and they sat by each other, and they sat there and made their $2 or $3 an hour and played their songs and did their hits. And Brian Wilson used them, and they played nearly on every Beach Boys song and every Righteous Brothers song, and you name it. So she was telling me all about how she played with the Monkees on the Monkees songs.
Wow.
And Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart, you know, wrote a lot of the songs and played on the sessions until the Monkees got good enough, and then they finally started doing it. So it's quite a story to hear all that.
That's pretty fascinating. Yeah, and I guess you could call those musicians like Carole Kay, you'd say she's the house bassist for the 60s, pretty much.
Oh, she was the number one house bassist, yeah.
Yeah.
When they needed something, she played. In fact, on the new show, I do about a 10-minute, it's about a 10 or 15-minute, actually, interview I did with her last year in Vegas, and it's on the new show that's coming out tomorrow. So if you get a chance to listen to it, it's toward the end of the show, but I spend the last 10 or 15 minutes on the show talking with her and naming off just a few of the people. It would take an hour to name everybody she played with, literally.
Wow.
I mean, she had over 10,000 sessions.
Wow.
That she played, and if it was a movie, or if it was like one of those hour shows like Hawaii 5-0 or Mannix or whatever, she played the song and just about played just about. She came up with the riff on Sonny and Cher, the Beat Goes On.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah.
That riff, yeah.
She came up with that riff. Dun, 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 dun. She came up with that.
Wow. Speaking of your show, when and where can we listen to it?
Let's see. It's on right now. I was going to syndicate it out to a bunch of stations, and I really didn't want to lose control of it because I've tried that before, and I'm not too crazy about doing that. So we decided to start our own network, and it's just called the DavidMobleyShow.com. And if you go there, it's a combination of you can hear all the shows. We do a new show. It's kind of crazy. We do one when we kind of feel like it and when we all get together and just get one done. But
okay.
We average one new every 2 weeks or so. And we put them into we've got to deal with Live 365. And we started a network there. And so the shows play there spontaneous, just one after another. With some of my guests that I know, some of my famous people I know, or whatever you want to call them, kind of doing promos in between and just small little mini interviews and stuff like that. But then we debut the show Thursday. Let's see, on Sunday. Let me start over. We do them on Sunday afternoons at 3:00 Eastern time. And 12
okay.
o'clock Pacific.
Oh,
so,
we definitely need to go on there
to
listen to some of these.
Yeah, that's on the DavidMobleyShow.com. So, and when you go to that site, it automatically just fires up and starts playing whatever show it's on. It says show's number one. Number one, show number two is on what's on there right now. Show number three will start on there at 3:00 Eastern time tomorrow.
Okay. And you know, on that show,
we're also in Sacramento. The only other radio station outside of what I do is HotMix106.com in Sacramento.
Oh, that's really cool. I'll check it out here.
Yeah, it's HotMix106.com, and it plays at 9:00 Eastern time on Sunday night, and then again at the same time on Thursday night.
Okay, very good. I'm glad they had the good sense to pick up your show. You just don't hear a lot of indie stuff like that
on
commercial radio.
Well, we've been she's Corey Marcus is the owner of that. She's been there for a long time, and she kind of taught me the ropes a little bit about the radio deal because I had never done anything before this Ty Rutherford deal I was telling y'all about out in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And we hooked up. She was doing a live remote out there, and she's the one that kind of hooked me up. And I said, why don't you do a show? And I said, are you crazy? I said, did you hear me talking? I mean, I sound like an uneducated idiot at best, you know, being from Texas. And, you know, I thought she was insane. But she said, no, you know, you'll probably be okay. And yeah, probably. Well, I don't know about that. We'll try it. So that's how I got into this radio thing. So, but my main deal is producing and songwriting. But I'm having a blast doing the show. Absolutely. It's fun.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. I checked out some of the artists that you've interviewed, and coincidentally enough, you've had a couple of my musician friends on your shows. You've interviewed Maxi Dunn and Vinny Zumo already.
Yeah, me and Vinny, we became real good friends. In fact, I just got off the phone with him yesterday. So.
Okay, great guy. Yeah, he was the guitarist for Joe Jackson and many others.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Vinny was on the first or second show He's on one of them. That you'll, if you listen to him, he's on one of. But yeah, Vinny's unbelievable. He just he's a, him and a guy named Michael Baim. If you've never talked to Michael Baim up in Vancouver, you need to get a hold of him, Mike. He's played with Bon Jovi, and he is a just unbelievable songwriter and producer. Absolutely.
Wow. Have to check him out. So how do you find indie artists to interview on your shows? I mean, that's my passion is indie artists, and that's Pam's too. How do you find them for your show?
Well, when I first started the show, I had my website already, and I have a lot of, I hate to use the word famous, but a lot of people that are well known in the music business, and I know a lot of them, and I've met most about everybody that can be met out there, and so we just kind of started putting it up there on the web, and people, I think a lot of people had already seen my site. And so when I started doing the radio show, I just got bombed. And we had the same problem. We thought, who are we going to get? And one of the producers on the show said, well, maybe we can go to YouTube and find people. And we thought we were going to have to start digging. Well, we started getting hit with 10 to 15 a day of people wanting to be on the show. And it was like, well, I had to bring in 5 or 6 of my friends just to help me just filter through.
Right.
And I started meeting people from all over the world, and of course, we couldn't play everybody. Some of them, we would gently tell them, it's not radio ready what you have, but we would tell them what to do and how to do it and maybe where to go. And many of them did it and got their songs radio ready, and we would play them.
I recently started an indie show, and I thought the same thing. How am I going to get some people on my show and play their music? And all I do is tweet it out, and I've been flooded. So I've got
quite
a few
they're
emails.
They're hungry, as they should be. It's the same thing, Pam, as everybody that's made it big time. They weren't always big time. You know?
Right.
They had to get out and fight and ride down from Willie Nelson all the way up, Christopherson, all of them. They've told me, what they had to go through.
Right,
and,
exactly. Everybody's an indie when they start.
Oh, yes.
There's
you're
no
nobody
thing
when
as
you start
now famous.
Right. Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is that the technology really enables that, though. I mean, there's so many more ways to get your music and get your name out there now than there ever used to be.
It's good, and it's bad, Mike, because it's so easy now that everybody can do it. So, it kind of waters down. There's a lot more filtering out to do because you got to love people that think they're musicians or think they're going to be the
right.
That's great to feel that way, but a lot of them are eons away from it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell them, so you have to be very careful.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of gold gems out there too that yet to be discovered. And boy, when you find one, it's like wow. You need to find a label, or you need to promote yourself. And these days, you don't have to have a label anymore. I'm not even big on labels. It just so happened that Dave Evans, when I did this deal with them, they're from the old school still. Dave being from AC/DC and Johnny being from Capitol, but they still believe that you have to have that label, which is fine. I mean, I'm all for it if that's what you want. But there's other avenues too you can take if you believe in yourself and you've got a little bit of money and the know-how to promote yourself, you can still get out there and make it without the label.
It seems like you could do it on sort of...
What would you suggest to an indie artist that is looking for a label? How do they get heard these days? I mean, they practically closed the doors on that.
Yes, they have. These days, you've nearly got to know somebody. I just don't know how else to put it. You nearly got to know somebody or have some kind of connection, or else you're never going to get in the door. I mean, you'll literally never even get in the door. If you send them something, you'll never hear from them, or they'll trash
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
In the old days, it would be like sending them a cassette and wrapping it up and please, 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 and all
right.
that stuff to them. And you would never hear from anybody. You had to know somebody. And it's still the same way that these days.
My heart breaks for them because they're trying so hard. I mean, if they would just give them a listen and even just give them a reply of, not now,
yeah.
See you later, you know, okay,
yeah.
Work
you
on
ain't
this,
got a
you know,
chance,
something.
You know, you keep your day job to something.
Yes.
But, you know,
I was one of those starving songwriters back in the 70s and even the 80s that we just, my partner and I, we would write everything in the world, and we thought we had some good songs, and still to this day we've been told that we had some good songs, but we never heard a word from anybody.
Mm. And I think it's been the perfect storm. That's kind of led to the whole indie music explosion in the first
place.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of
yep.
feedback from the labels, and then the technology that lets you, if you have talent, lets you put it out there.
Right, right. And I think the labels have had to change, had to have a little bit of change of heart, because they can't, they're not getting what they used to. And it's kind of, I think it's kind of kicked them in the rear a little bit too. So,
right, and you know, with the new shows that are out there, well, not necessarily
yep.
new anymore, like American Idol and The Voice and that,
right.
you know, indies are getting exposure that way, and that's
exactly.
where I think some of the labels are picking up, you know, some of these artists, but unless you're on that show, you really don't have a chance in heck, you know, getting somebody to listen to you.
No, no, and you've got to get down to the top 10 or 15
right.
even to get discovered there. In fact, I was just with... Kelly Clarkson and Taylor Hicks last week. In fact, there I've got them on my website. If you go to the website, I've got pictures of us, and we were up at parties together. And, we, and of course, when I go to these places with these people, I talk to them, and they, you know, we go through the whole bit. And Taylor, in fact, I was just with him last Wednesday night out in Vegas, and the Wednesday before last, and he was telling me how hard it was. I think he won season 5, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But he was telling me how hard it was. And
yeah, even if you win, there's no guarantee.
He said, yeah, if you win, it's even tougher because you're
wow.
automatically signed. They own you for a year.
Right.
And Kelly Clarkson was telling me, and I guess y'all know if y'all have heard recently about the biography that, I can't think of his name, the old-time producer. I wish I could think of his name right now. I'm having a hard time. Lack of sleep is doing that to me.
Yeah.
he just came out with this. But anyway, he is the guy that pretty much owns ever who wins the American Idol. And they're stuck with him for a year, which is good. I mean, because he – Clive Davis.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly Clarkson and him had a huge fallout because she wanted to go against the grain a little bit and not do exactly what he wanted, and she wanted to put out her own stuff. And of course, he had his ideas, as he should. I mean, he's a seasoned veteran. He probably knows more than anybody, all of us put together. But she decided to be a rogue, and she was telling me all about it. And she pretty much. Just told him, you know, where to put it.
Oh my gosh!
and broke off, and of course, then he badmouthed her in his autobiography, and so that made her upset. So one thing led to another. So the music business can be nasty.
Right.
I don't know what my point was going to be, but she's surviving. She's doing great. She's come out with some real good songs. I think Avril Lavigne wrote her some good songs, and Kelly wrote a couple of herself. And
yeah, I mean, she's certainly an example of a major success story from
yeah,
that kind
yeah,
of show.
Yeah, she really is. Yeah, they can, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's reality. She, you know, I mean, it was like the Monkees were. They were put together and it's artificial. Well, not really. I mean, the Monkees might have been artificial, but there was some talent there. But people like Kelly Clarkson, she's not artificial. She would have made it one way or the other.
Yeah, this just puts you ahead, you know, quite a bit faster. And, you know,
Yeah, made it easier on her, Mike. You're right.
Some musicians would kill to have a year with Clive Davis or somebody of
his caliber. Of course they would. Even with me, what I've said, I would. I mean, I could learn from him so much. And I think he's pushing late 70s or 80.
But
gosh, what he must have in his head, you know, what he knows.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, what drew you into music in the first place?
What got me into music?
Yes.
One word, Beatles.
Beatles.
I mean, everybody must say that. Yeah, 1964, the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I mean, I don't know. My parents were really into music. My dad was into country stuff, and I hated country music. I just did not like the old style country. And he would watch, you know, all the old stuff way back when, you know, the Wilburn Brothers and ever who that was, Dolly Parton used to be on. I can't remember. I was just a youngster. But I just didn't ever care for it. I didn't know what I liked. My mom had a couple Buddy Holly and some Elvis Presley stuff that I'd listen to, but it just wasn't there. And I saw the Beatles in 1964 on Ed Sullivan. I said, that's it. That's what I want to be. So.
And did you grow your hair long and everything?
Oh, God,
like
I tried. I tried. But, you know, of course, my daddy took a belt to me and said, no, ain't going to happen. And then when I got old enough that he couldn't make a belt to me no more, I was in the sports in high school. So then the coaches would, you know, look at you and say, you want to play ball? Cut your hair.
Oh, no.
You were down to that. So finally, you know, high school was over and everybody let their hair all the way down, and you know, in the early 70s. So,
you know, what's
funny
about hair is that, you know, in the 60s was long, and 70s was long hair, 80s was short hair, and 90s was stringy hair. And it's like right now everything goes, you could have a band, four guys, you could have a bald guy, a long hair guy, a short hair guy, and they all be playing the same kind of music and getting along just fine. It's like anything goes these days, you know, fashion-wise.
Right. It's amazing. Yeah, I was with a... like I said, I was with Yes the other night, and I was with them again in October. I was with them at the Palms in Vegas, and there was Procol Harum opened up for them. I was back here, and there was five guys in Procol Harum, and then the five in Yes, and like just like you said, Mike. It was every kind of hairdo imaginable, from nearly bald to clear down to their rear end to halfway down to pull back. And they were, of course, all of them were gray, except for the younger ones. They were all gray and white, you know, and stringy and just not even combed. And it's like, who cares anymore?
Doesn't even matter anymore.
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. So.
Well, what was the biggest project you ever took on and thought to yourself, oh, my gosh, what did I get into?
Well, that might have been this last one, because I'm dealing with two different egos. I've never done that before. I've dealt with single egos before with a few people, and most of the time I stay in the background. I'm not one of those that like to get out front, and, you know, they put my name on these back of these CDs or albums, as an executive producer or producer, but I don't get out in front, and I normally don't do. This is actually the first year I've done interviews. I've just never done them. I just never did care to.
Well, thank God you are.
Well, I hope I'm not embarrassing anybody. I couldn't just run my mouth 500 miles an hour, but I just never was one of those that liked to do it. But probably the biggest challenge was the one I just went through, and that was with Dave Evans and John Nitzinger, because they were two different styles. They come from two different types of music completely.
Really?
And both of them were stars. And so when you have two stars and you're, you know, it's kind of hard because you're both thinking, well, I'm the man. And the other one's going, no, I'm the man.
Yeah.
and I know which one is the man, but I can't really say, you know.
No,
so.
You can't.
No, because I've chosen sides at that point, and it's not good. So, you're playing babysitter, and I say that respectfully. You're playing babysitter.
Right.
You're playing, keeping, you know, being a neutral zone, keeping everybody together, their wives, everybody's married, so you're keeping their wives at bay so they don't get to a cat fight and got everybody, you know, bad-mouthing each other and all this. And so, that was probably my biggest challenge. But we got through it with flying colors, and it went good, and everybody doesn't hate each other.
Yeah, nobody ended up black and blue.
No. Well, I would have been the one, probably.
Right.
I'd have got caught in the middle of one of those and taking the hit. But, no,
but I am a little concerned. I am a little concerned because the album is called Revenge, though.
Yeah.
If you know David, Dave Evans is, you know, he's one of those that's just the kind of guy he is. And he is, he, you know, and he probably will get mad at me if I say this, but he's as sweet as a pussycat behind the scenes, you know. But out in the public, he's the muscle. He's called, you know, known as the badass of rock. and he likes to flex himself and talk big, and you know, and that's his shtick, and it's great, and it's worked, and he's stuck with it since 73.
Wow.
But my wife and him and his fiance, we've all been out 100 times together, and he's just as sweet as he can be. So
that's great.
Yeah,
we won't
tell
anybody.
Okay.
Yeah. And all you listeners out there, don't tell anybody.
For all you listeners out there, yeah, I just gave it away. Sorry, Dave. Hey, he's over in Australia. He left about 3 weeks ago, and he went to Australia to start touring for the AC/DC 40th year anniversary.
Wow,
so,
that's great.
Because they started in 73. So he's out doing that, and so maybe he's – I think he's in Sydney or somewhere tonight. So he's quite a ways off.
Well, I have to tell you that my youngest son is 16 years old, and he has been in love with AC/DC for as long as I can remember.
Oh, my.
And
God.
It's funny because that's about the only rock band he'll listen to. Otherwise, he
listens
to that. Yeah, he listens to, like, hip-hop and all that other stuff. But he just loves AC/DC. And so when I told him I was going to talk to you and what you had just finished doing, he was just blown away. He's like, is he going to be on the show too? I'm like, no, sorry.
Well, that was a surprise I was going to try to give you since I was sick last week and couldn't get on. I was trying to get Dave to hook up, but because of scheduling conflicts and because he's on a completely different time zone.
In fact,
tomorrow sometime in the afternoon or morning right now.
Right.
I don't even know, but they've got rehearsals and stuff going on. But I would love to if we get the chance, if you ever want to try something again and I'm able to hook up with him.
That would be wonderful.
We could do something. I can get him on. Because he and I are doing, in fact, we're already halfway through with a second album that he and I are doing just by ourselves.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's coming out, and I'm not really supposed to be at Bay at saying this yet, but
yeah.
I can, because it's
again,
because
everybody,
it's a
secret.
I can do what I want to. I don't have anybody to answer to. But, yeah, we're coming out with it in December, and it's called What About Tomorrow.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, please, let's talk when that comes out.
Yeah. And it's 10 songs that me and my co-writers have written. So I'm producing, executive producing, and co-writing the whole thing. And Dave's going to sing it all. And we're going to release it through the same labels that we've just released this last Revenge album.
Well, this is the first time my son ever showed any kind of interest in my show, so I'll have to tell him about that.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, he'd be thrilled to death. I don't even know if he could talk if I put him on the phone with him.
Well, when we get Dave on, we'll try to get him, if you can get him on, Dave would really, you know, he knows how to handle him. He could talk real well to him and make him comfortable.
Yeah, because he's a little shy that way of getting on the phone to talk to with people. So, even if he just listened, I think he'd be happy.
Yeah. Oh, the first one that I interviewed, my very first interview. Now, of course, I'd already been out with the Todd Rundgren deal. I'd spent 3 days with him, so that kind of broke the ice with me, sitting there having lunch with Todd Rundgren and all these other people. And it helped, and I'd already met a lot of other – but I'd never done anybody on the phone. Doing, you know, asking questions and trying to, you know, come back with what I would call, you know, good answers or trying to be, you know, slick with them and all that.
Right.
And also my first one was Andy Frazier from Free.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And he's the one that wrote, you know, All Right Now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from, you know, he's from the other side of the pond. And so, you know, trying to understand his language and me understand and him understand my language, especially it was quite interesting. But and I was calling him from Vegas, and we talked for about 15 minutes, and finally we broke the ice and just kind of hit it off, and we talked for 2 solid hours.
Wow.
And it just turned out so good. And in fact, I think he's on show number one, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, and, well, check that out.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny because it's not really asking questions after a while. It's just conversation.
That's what happened, Mike. Yeah, what I And what I did on the show after, I couldn't play the full 2 hours, and so and we were interviewing him, or I was talking to him on the phone, I should say, down in the lobby of the Paris Hotel. So okay. We had a bunch of people gathered around as they started finding out who I was talking to.
Oh.
And so you could hear people starting to, you know, gather and come up behind us and start laughing because I'm laughing. And so I put him on loudspeaker, and
uh-huh.
Boom, I mean, it just took off. So we put about 10 or 15 minutes of the interview out of the two-hour interview on the show, and it's just real interesting. And he tells how he wrote All Right Now.
Oh, neat. Definitely
so,
check that out, everybody.
Turned out really interesting, so...
Well, what
anyway.
Who haven't you collaborated with yet that you'd like to in the future?
Oh wow, boy, I don't.
You probably
know,
did with everybody, right?
Well, I mean, I've just about met everybody. Probably, maybe Sting.
Yeah.
The reason I say that is we're going to Denver to a party with him in June, and. You know, I would love to approach him and say, you know what, if you've got anything coming up, I would love to, if nothing else, just sit in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that with a lot of projects, just sit in on it and said a couple of words or you know, somebody would ask me my opinion. And that's good enough for me. I mean, I don't have to be the big wig or call all the shots. I love doing that more than anything, just giving a little opinion if somebody asked me. Or you know, just this or that. But I would love to do something with him. I'm meeting Hart shortly after that.
Another
great and Nancy Wilson. Yeah.
And of course, they're not. A lot of these acts now are having to live off their past, which is
right.
What everybody wants to hear. It's just like the other night. Yes, it came out with a brand new CD, and it's good. But everybody wants to hear Roundabout. You know.
Yeah.
So they do it. They play everything from Fragile and Yes songs and, you know, Close to the Edge, because that's what everybody wants to hear.
But hopefully,
well, you're bringing on your old audience, but with the new songs, you're bringing on a new audience.
You're
so
picking
on
a new
mixture.
Audience too, right? Exactly, and that's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to rejuvenate, although he doesn't need much rejuvenation because he's still kept his crowd and. And being, when you can associate that word ACDC with your name, it's just like your son, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got some merit. So,
right.
And when I go to a show, the most successful acts, I think, are the ones who have all age groups there. For instance, if I go to a concert and I'm the youngest person in the crowd, that's bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to see the next generation digging the music, too.
I know, yeah. Well, we went to my producer and I went to the Beach Boys.
Okay.
It was late last summer, and it was over in Dallas, and we went backstage with them, and then we went to a sound check, and we thought it was just going to be a bunch of old people, you know, not old, but I mean everybody, you know, 45, 50 and up.
Right.
You can't imagine how many 20-year-olds were there. I bet it was half the audience were 20s and early 30s.
That's a group with a legacy. When you get that kind of following, you know, Beach Boys and AC/DC, they all have young fans, and that's healthy, really healthy.
Yeah, it's very healthy. Yeah, and they've stayed with it. And Angus Young has done an amazing job keeping most of the group or some of the group together, and they're still putting out good stuff. They're still rocking, and it's just like Dave. Dave is, I believe, he's 59 years old, if I'm not mistaken. He's going to be 60 in July, something like that. He could still get up there and rock, just like Mick Jagger can at 70.
I watched him recently. My gosh,
oh my
he still can do it.
I'm getting winded sitting here talking with y'all. Can y'all imagine him get up there at 70 and doing what he does?
Truly.
And Rod Stewart just recently came out with a new CD that I listened to, like the preview of the songs on YouTube.
Right.
And it's like, you know, recently he's done cover songs and
right.
on his songbook. And those are good, but you want to hear the real Rod Stewart that
yeah.
you fell in love with. And
yeah,
this
with Maggie
CD
and all that.
Reminds me of it.
Yes, I know. Yeah, we caught him over at... I think it was Caesars is where he's playing now.
Okay.
If I'm Caesars Palace, it's
mm-hmm.
it's him and Elton John and Celine Dion. I think they all are taking turns, I guess is the best word to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Taking turns of playing 3 or 4 months at a time there.
Wow, what a
and
show.
And they love it that way. And that's a smart thing to do. Instead of a tour worldwide, I think even Britney Spears is looking for a spot now in Vegas that she can settle down and be at one place and not have to tour and let everybody come to her instead of her going to them.
I hadn't thought of it like that, but everybody goes to Vegas, so everybody's going to get a chance to see them.
Exactly, exactly. At Taylor Hicks, that's the first thing he did. He settled down at Paris, and they signed him to a, I don't know if it's a 1-year or 2-year deal, but the crowd comes to him, and he gets to stay there and relax and take it easy and live there and do his thing. And so puts on, I think it's 5 nights a week he plays, and everybody comes to it, and he gets through, and he gets to go home. He doesn't have to, you know, hit the road.
That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, so the new, and I think Elton John is the one that kind of started that, and which was, it was a brilliant idea.
And I just can't imagine him being as big as he is ever wanting to do something like that. So, I mean, it's great for so many of his fans to be able to, you know that he's there at a certain time and go check him out and listen to a concert that they may not have gotten to otherwise.
Right. Are you talking about Taylor or Elton?
Elton John.
Elton, yeah. Now, he's still, now Elton will sit and play for 3 or 4 months at Caesars. And then he'll still go out on the road a little bit, but only if he wants to. It's not something he has to do anymore.
Right.
And that's what's so good about it. He can call his own shots and do what he wants to, as rightly so, as he should be able to. He's paying.
Oh, yeah, nice to be at that stage in your career.
Yeah. He can do. And he's very gracious. He's very, very nice. We've met him one time. It wasn't very long. I didn't get to talk to him very much, but he was very, very gracious and nice, and didn't have to be if he didn't want to be. So.
Well, don't laugh at me, but I got to get out to Vegas to see Donny Osmond. So.
Yeah.
Well, check me and Donny and Marie out. In fact, I got in trouble with Marie.
Oh no.
I got sent over to their show 4 or 5 times, or maybe even 6 times I've been over there. And so Marie saw me, I think it was the 3rd or 4th time, and she came up and hugged me. And so the camera caught us while we're hugging. Well, then my dear wife gets to see that, and she's going like, what's going on? What are you doing hugging Marie Osmond with the look on your face?
Relation or what?
Well, I had tried to have this look of shock, but it didn't work.
I know I had a bit of a crush on Marie when I was about 14, 15 years old.
Well,
who didn't? My
goodness. And she still looks fabulous. They're both as nice as they can be. So, again, if you get to go to my website, you'll see the pics on there and see exactly what I'm talking about.
And, that's absolutely amazing.
Probably the funniest one was I go to a lot of the fights out in Vegas, boxing.
Okay.
When boxing was boxing. It's not much boxing anymore, but I was sitting at, I think it was at one of the Mayweather fights. Do y'all know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I was sitting in one of his fights, and in between the rounds, you have to sit down. You can't stand up when they're fighting, so you don't block anybody's view. And Paris Hilton happened to walk up, and I was sitting by Mark Wahlberg and one other star I can't think of. Oh, Jeremy Piven. I don't know if y'all know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
Yes.
So I was sitting by them, actually sitting in between them, and she was over talking to Mark Wahlberg. She wasn't talking to me. She was talking to him. Well, anyway, so the bell rang, and one of the people there on the aisle said, you've got to sit down. They don't care who you are, because there's so many stars there that there's nobody there other than Muhammad Ali. There's nobody there that's above, you know, that's above God.
Right.
So they were telling her, you'll sit down. And she sat down right on my knee, and my friend in front of me had a camera and turned around and snapped a picture of me and Paris Hilton sitting on my knee.
Oh, my goodness.
This was, you know, and I had a total look of shock on my face, and so of course my wife saw that, and it's like, no more fights. that's the end of it for you.
Oh my goodness, there's one of the family
albums. I'm just teasing. She understands all that stuff that goes on. It's extremely innocent, I promise you.
Right.
Absolutely. For good stories.
So, absolutely. So we talked about a lot of the really well-known people you've met, and just want to focus back in on indie artists. What kind of advice would you give out to those who are just starting out in the music industry, and is it ever too late to get started?
Well, no, I don't think so. No, I know some guys in their 60s that are – now, it doesn't mean that they're just learning to play guitar or something like that. You can do that, but you're limiting your chances on how far you're going to get. But if you've already been doing it and you just never really decided to expose yourself, but you've got talent and you know how to play and you know how to sing or you know how to write, even if you can't sing, and you just decided to get out there. The way it is now, the technology, you can get started and get a following going. And if you can't sing, at least you can write.
Yes.
And hopefully some starving artist that's out there, even being an indie artist that can't write so well, but it's got a voice like an angel, they're looking for good songs.
All right.
So yeah, so to answer your question, Mike, no, I don't think you can be too old to do that.
That's reassuring. So there's always a way to put something together at whatever.
Yeah,
level.
You know, back in it's not the old days anymore. I mean, at least not to us. We're all the baby boomers, and we're all doing stuff different. And who would have ever thought the Stones and McCartney and everybody and the Eagles? I mean, they're all getting up, on up there. And they're still just rocking like they did in their 30s and 20s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're filling up stadiums, still. That's amazing to me how they can do that. The Eagles can still – they can fill up a stadium as big as you want to get three nights in a row if they wanted to.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, they sell tickets out in minutes.
Yeah, you're right, Pam. They can sell out of the American Airlines Center over here in Dallas. They can sell it out in 3 minutes.
Oh,
I mean, absolutely, to sell that, and they would pretty much put any kind of price they want on their tickets.
Yeah, it makes it hard for a fan, but I mean, it's good that they still have a following for the artist.
Yeah, well, they do. They have a really nice following, and I'm friends with one of their songwriters, the one that wrote Jack. It's horrible to say somebody's your friend you can't think of their last name, but he's the one that wrote "Peaceful Feeling." And yeah, he wrote some songs for Johnny Rivers, and Jack Timpson.
Okay.
Sorry, Jack. Because I'm bad on names. But anyway, yeah, he wrote. In fact, he just had an Eagles documentary or biography, if you want to call it, on Showtime or HBO on something. I don't know if y'all saw it or not.
No.
Oh, it's been playing, my gosh, it's been playing nearly every night for the last month. It seems like it's on HBO. But Jack's on there, and it shows Don Henley. Well, it shows all of them are on there.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to know Henley because he and I had a boat side by side up here just outside of Dallas. And so we got to kind of know him from that.
Cool.
That was nice. And it was nice not to have to talk music. It was nice to talk a little bit of music, but you didn't have to. You could just sit and
talk and
drink a beer and just be a regular guy, you know.
I guess that makes sense. Sometimes you're not on the clock.
Yeah.
You know, I have a question for you. I have a friend that manages indie artists, and one of them wants a song that they've written recorded by a major rock star or whoever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How did they get that person to listen to that song? Do you have any ideas?
If they're on Facebook, lots of times you can get on Facebook and you can try friending them. Now, lots of times they don't have regular Facebook deal. They have like pages.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so you start that route, you get on there, you try to get on their website, you try to find people that might know them. You hook up, you just about, I get this question all the time, and it's really hard to answer because there's just no really...
easy way.
No, there's really not, Pam. There's no perfect way to do it. You just start digging. I don't know how else to say it.
Right.
You try everything in the world. I wanted to meet a guy that had a song called Laugh Laugh from 1960. 64, I believe. It was by the Beau Brummels. I mean,
Sal Valentino.
Sal Valentino, you got it. Yeah.
I'm going to name drop. I saw him the other night. He lives here in Sacramento.
He lives in Sacramento, yes, exactly. Well, I'm just finding all this out now in the last couple months. And
wow.
It's from an indie artist that I had on my first show. And she said, you know, and I've had her on my radio station for a couple of years, but I never knew she knew Sal. I mean, it just never came up. And
oh,
I
wow.
still to this moment don't know exactly how it came up. And she must have told me because I can't imagine why I would just say it. But she mentioned it to me, I do believe, that have you ever talked to Sal Valentino? And I'm like, Sal Valentino? And I'm, you know, I just know the Beau Brummels. And she goes,
yeah.
Well, he played with the Beau Brummels. And I'm going, oh, crap.
Ding, ding, ding.
And so, and she goes, he's the one that sang Laugh, Laugh. And I'm going, oh, my God, that was my song in the sixth grade, period.
Wow.
Nothing else mattered but that song. I played it over and over and over and over and over.
Oh, wow.
So then I finally got an album signed. I saw him in concert somewhere, and I don't remember. It was somewhere in Fort Worth or Dallas or somewhere, but they all the original guys signed the album for me. So anyway, so Sal told Sal that Sal did me on Facebook, and I sent him a picture of the album, and so I'm going to have him on the show here pretty soon. So that's going to be, you know, that's really a cool treat for me.
Oh, I'm sure. Somebody that you have loved for so long, and then you're going to get to talk to.
Yeah, they actually doing a lot better probably for him if it hadn't been for this particular person. So,
right.
And I wasn't looking for it to happen. It just happened.
Well, sometimes it's just meant to be, you know.
yeah, exactly. You just never know. You never know. I didn't actually go to Vegas to see Taylor Hicks. I just happened to get there, and somebody said, hey, Taylor's here. I'm going, Taylor who? Taylor Hicks. And I'm going, oh, man, well, that's something kind of neat. Where's he at? And they said, down the hallway, you know, playing tonight. And I'm going, well, okay. And they said, do you want to go meet him? And I said, well, sure, why not? You know, and so that's how that happened.
Nice.
Oh, that's
very
so
nice.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're getting to the top of the hour, but I wanted to mention that Mike and I both listened to two of the Crosswind songs and absolutely love them.
Oh, thank
and
you.
If you wouldn't mind, if I play when we let you go, one of the songs I have lost along the way on my studio.
Oh, wow. That was off our first or our third CD from 2004. That's
well, they're great songs. Did you
yes,
write
well,
both
thank
of them?
You. I'm surprised at that. Well, I mean, that we did get good reviews on some of those songs. Now, our last CD was The Dark Side of Day, which came out a couple of years ago, and we got some big-time reviews on it. And there was a song on there called Superhero Rock Star and Two Lovers and Take Me Home Tonight, I think, were the three big, if you want to call them, semi-hits that came off of that CD. But also along the way was a good one off the Hot Acoustic Night CD.
Yeah, the other one we listened to was Superhero Rock Star, but I only uploaded one song.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you playing that, Pam. It was very nice of you.
Oh, you're welcome. I want listeners to hear that you can also be in a band besides helping all these other ones out.
Well,
all the
it's
other
kind of funny
do.
That I don't know how much time we have here, but the kind of band we're not a touring band. We don't play on stage anymore. I stopped that many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
we do play, and in studio we're like Steely Dan used to be. We just play in the studio and then put our music out. And that's our following.
Well, that's a good way to go, too.
Well, I'm sure that people are happy just to hear the music. You know, of course, it's nice to go on tour, but at least if you're still making music, they can hear it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, they really wouldn't want to see me. Like I said, if I have a couple of drinks and get on stage and bang a tambourine with somebody, that's about the extent of my plan. It's about the extent of my tours these days.
Yeah.
Funny.
Well, I think Mike and I would like to hang out with you just one night. My gosh, what an interesting life you've had.
Well, just be sure we have a good bail bondsman. And
right. That's right.
Well, you'll need to contact me if you're ever hanging out with John Bon Jovi because I would just die.
Oh,
I wouldn't be able
to
say anything to him, but I would just love to be in his presence.
Yeah, nothing would come out of your mouth with it. Just be like my sister, that's what she's telling me. I've got them first It's for the April something concert. I think it's over in Dallas. And go and sit, get to sit on the front row and go to a private party.
Oh,
and she can hardly stand it. She can hardly wait. And
yeah.
I don't know if she's going to actually meet him or not, but she may.
Mm-hmm.
They may get to go backstage and see him. So, yeah, she'll be just starstruck.
What a treat.
But that's what happened to poor wife. And, again, we may be short on time here, but my poor wife, we got invited out to Vegas to meet Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, nice.
And Bruce Willis and Paul Abdul. There was a bunch of them there that was over playing Hollywood. And my wife's like, I don't care about movie stars. Oh, this, you know, it's not for me. And I'm saying, well, just go with me. You know, for good PR. We'll get some pictures and have some drinks and have some laughs and all. Well, we get there and of course we meet Paul Abdul and all. We're all sitting there talking and Stallone, and he comes up. We're all just sitting there in a circle talking. Anyway, my wife walks up and Stallone turns and looks at her, and she goes, God, you're good looking. I nearly threw up. I was like,
oh, that's too funny.
She was totally just blown away. And thought, well, what happened to this? I don't care about movie stars.
Right?
So I'm sorry, let live that down. It was so funny.
Yeah.
But anyway. But it'd be fun to hang out with you guys anytime. I'm right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth, right smack dab in the middle. So.
Well, I'd love to get over there just to get out of
too.
The cold weather in Chicago,
So you are in Chicago, okay.
I am.
Y'all caught a couple bad storms there lately, haven't you?
Yeah, and Chicago completely forgot about spring, so.
We're
still in winter.
It's been 80 here all week, and today, it got down to 33 last night. So it's just, our weather's just crazy. It's so you know, we got a 50-degree temperature swing overnight.
Wow.
Well,
that's what I have a musician friend, Lanny Flowers, who lives in the Dallas area, too. He tells me the same thing. He said it can be anywhere from, like, 110 to 30, and you just never know. It could be the same week.
Yeah. Now, that's during the change of the seasons. You don't see it. You know, once it gets summer or dead of winter, it's usually not that way. But during spring or fall, you never know. Yeah, there can be a 50-degree swing at any time. And, of course, that's what creates all these bad storms we have.
Exactly.
We had one roll through here about 5 o'clock this morning, and we were all ready to record. And here we are sitting here, you know, half asleep, but we're ready to start going. And all of a sudden, it starts lightning, and here comes the thunder. So there goes the recording.
Yeah.
So we have to sit and wait a whole hour for it to stop. You know, so. But
well,
that's
a good thing it did. After getting up that early.
I know it, but it finally stopped, and we got the show in. So it worked out.
Well, we'd love to have you back in the near future and chat some more. And if you can bring on Dave, that would be great. My son would be thrilled.
We'll just plan on that next time. He'll be back probably, I'm going to think, August or the 1st of October. The tour will be over.
Oh, okay.
And he'll be back, and we're going to finish recording the other 5 songs, and then we'll probably start doing some interviews at that time.
Wonderful. Great. I'll reach out to Doug and let him know.
Up. And and if you can't get Doug, then you just get me direct. So
okay.
Either way.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Well,
we
Pam
absolutely
and Mike,
loved it.
Well, I appreciate both of you having me on, and I hope I didn't embarrass you.
Not at all.
It was a great conversation, David. Really enjoyed chatting with you.
Well,
yeah.
I appreciate you guys putting up with me.
No kidding. It was so interesting and entertaining for us, and I'm sure the listeners, we could listen to you all day tell stories.
My goodness. I appreciate you saying that. Whether you did it or not, Pam, I appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys a lot.
It's been my pleasure. Been my pleasure to be on, and I'd love to be on again just any time. So
thank you so much.
Take care.
All right.
Okay, y'all take care and have a good one, and I'll talk with y'all soon.
All right, thanks. You too.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, what do you think, Mike, for your first time? Did you not love it?
I was absolutely enjoying myself every second. You know, this is a blast, Pam. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm so thrilled that you got to do this interview with me, because it's probably one of the most interesting interviews I've done to date.
Wow, and I'm sure that's got nothing to do with me, but wow, what a great guest.
Mike, you were fantastic. You know,
well,
if you had any doubt in your mind, I never did. You know that, and I think you're wonderful.
Well, I appreciate that. Are we still on the air?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll make sure. I want to know if the world's hearing this or not. No, it's always you know, a little bit tense before you do something new, but that's, you know, how we are as human beings. You know, it's human nature to be a little nervous. But no, it was so fun and relaxing. This is just a great venue. And, you know, hey, 3-way conversation. It was just fantastic.
Exactly, and to share it with, you know, however many listeners we have and that would never be able to listen to it otherwise is just, it's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, absolutely, and I just had so much fun with this. You know, it just went by that, you know, really quickly. I do interviews all the time on my other show, and, you know, if it's a good one like this one, it just goes by too quick. And this is a nice format here, too, because you can stretch out and go as long as you need to. I'm a little more tightly formatted on my other show, where I'm done in 26 minutes, so I better get to everything. But we had a chance to just say everything we wanted to say and have David tell his stories. I wouldn't want to cut off any of those stories.
Right, exactly. Why don't you tell our listeners about your other show so they can tune into that as well?
Okay, well, coincidentally, it's going to be on today. It's a show called Twirl Radio, and it's at www.twirlradio.com, a live music show, two-hour show. It's on 4 to 6 p.m., that's Pacific time, so that is 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern at twirlradio.com, based here in Sacramento, and I play what I call the finest music from the rock era. So I've got probably a heavy focus on the indie artists. Probably 80% of the music I play is indies, and then 20% well-known, but kind of offbeat stuff. It's just a mix of music from all genres, having to do with rock, Americana, alternative, throw a little country in there for good measure, and I'll do an interview about every other week or so. Today it's going to be straight up 2 hours of music, though.
And let me tell you, it's a great show. I listen to it every chance I get. Once in a while I miss it, and I'm like, oh, no, I missed it because of the time difference, you know, sometimes.
Right.
Or I'm in the middle of an interview or something that I can't get to it. But I absolutely love your shows. I love your interviews. And it's very laid back as how this one is.
Well, thanks. You know, that's the way I see it. It's funny because I used to live in Chicago for 10 years back in the 80s and 90s. And my favorite radio station in the world still is WXRT 93.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to listen to that all the time. And some of the DJs on there were just extremely knowledgeable and laid back, and they played this wide variety of music. So if anybody wants to know where I stole my shit from, it would be WXRT, completely. I owe everything to those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all copy something we like, right?
Right, exactly. Because my show is not the only show out there like this. So, you know, you kind of learn from different areas and different shows, and you just put your own together.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name Twirl Radio?
Oh, that's a funny story. This is like a stupid and funny story all at once, because I was a graphic artist, and I used to use programs such as Adobe Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator, and I was trying to come up with a logo for a potential radio show that I was going to start to do, and this is back 15 years ago. So I just played with some of the filters. Filters are things that can take type, and they can take text, and they can take graphics, and they can turn them around and make them do funny things. So there was a filter called the Twirl filter, and
mm-hmm.
I liked the effect, so I plugged in the word Twirl, and I used the Twirl filter on it, so it made it kind of swirly looking, and I said, hey, I like the way it looks, and that's a great name for a show.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. And I came up with Take Two Radio because I figured it was my take two because I had been a co-host on another show. And it just worked well with everything else that I've ventured into. And, it's just how I came up with it. I thought, what in the world am I going to name my show? And I thought, you know, this is my second chance to do something. And just kind of, it just came to me, Take Two. And so I just added radio to it.
That's a great name. I always think it has sort of a showbiz sound to it, you know, in the first place. And second, I always think, yeah, there's always second chances in life. So, you know, we're both living examples of that.
Exactly. And thank God we can do this.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and play Lost Along the Way by Crosswinds. And David, how did he say his name? He said Mobley instead
Mobley,
of Mobley?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I guess so. I'm glad he said it first.
Yeah, I mispronounced it, and I'm sorry I did that. But, you know, before you even talk to a guest, you know, it's all emails and stuff like that, and you're not always sure on how to say their name, and you can only guess at it. So
right.
If they call in a few minutes earlier before we go live, I try to clarify with them about that. But unfortunately, he called in right when we went live.
Worked out just fine, though.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go, Mike, so you can get ready for your show. And I'm going to play the song, and I'm going to wrap up. But before I do that, please join us again tomorrow, Mike and I, for Jeff Powers at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. He's a Cleveland native. He's a singer-songwriter, guitarist, and plays like blues and Americana. And he's playing on a new guitar. What was that called? Do you remember, Mike?
Oh, he is playing on a cigar box guitar.
Cigar
it's literally
box.
That. It's I looked that up, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, but it's literally a cigar box, like those nice wooden cigar boxes, and it's a three-stringed instrument. It's very cool.
Yeah, I never heard of it before. When I initially got the email, I thought, what the heck is that? Until I watched the video, and then I says, oh, okay.
Me either, but that gives me a lot of hope because, I mean, you get somebody like him who's an absolute virtuoso, and, you know, obviously he can make great things happen with a guitar like that, but I also found out you can get a kit to build one of those for like $25-$30, you know, online, and there's some tutorials, so anybody like me who's not really a musician could probably get started and at least make some pleasing sounds coming out of that thing. So it's kind of neat. I can't wait to ask him about the instrument itself.
Yeah, and how he came across it. I guess maybe being a musician for a long time, you know, you kind of learn all the different instruments that are out there, but how he actually chose to work with that one is, it would be interesting to know as well.
Yes, definitely.
So that'll be tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern. Tune in, same place, and almost the same time. Today we're a little bit earlier, but
yes,
just join us tomorrow. And thanks again, Mike, for joining me today. I absolutely loved it, and I'm so happy to have you with me.
Me too. Thank you, Pam, for having me. It's been a blast, and I cannot wait till we get together tomorrow to do this again.
Sounds great. Have a good show tonight, and I'll see you there in a little while.
All right. Take care, Pam.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and with that, I'm going to play Lost Along the Way by Crosswinds.
Sweet little
by Crosswinds, and that includes David Mobley and that band, Lost Along the Way. I hope you enjoyed today's show and would love to see you back again tomorrow when we have Jeff Powers on at 5 p.m. Eastern. Thank you to everybody who joined us today, and have a great weekend. God bless.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect with Take Two Radio on Twitter at Take Two Radio and at Dawn Take Two Radio. You can also look us up on Facebook at Take Two Radio. Check out our website at taketworadio.com. And follow us on Blog Talk so you can stay up to the minute of each episode as we add it. Each episode is always available for download immediately following each broadcast. And you can also download every podcast on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.